The Navi Zechariah, hey Zachary, nice, tells us, Som Revi'i, V'Som HaChamishi, V'Som HaShvi'i, V'Som HaSiri, Yevem Lasasonu Simcha. That's what the Pasuk is from Zechariah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I think Daf Yud Ches around there quotes it. What's the context of the question? That we know we had that the Jewish people had the Bayis Rishon, and then the Churban came and it was destroyed. So where did the Jews go for the next 70 years? They got exiled into Babel, other places. So what did they do? So what did they do for those 70 years? So for 70 years, they went ahead and they were mis'avel over the Churban HaBayis, right?
Yes.
And then what happened at Bayis Sheni? So they celebrated. They made those days a holiday. And then we had the Churban HaBayis Sheni. So the question is, what was the status of these days? Like during the Churban, when the Beis HaMikdash was up, and post-Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Gemara, based on the Pasuk in Zechariah, says there are three different periods of time. There's, because the Pasuk says Som, fasting, and the Torah says Sason V'Simcha. So which one is it? Is it a Som or is it a Simcha? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. There are three levels. During the time when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and there's religious persecution, so that's a Som. That was a fast day. When the Beis HaMikdash is up and there's Shalom, it's a Sason V'Simcha. V'Zman Bayis Sheni, those days became joyous occasions. And the Gemara gives a third level, probably the one we're in now. The Gemara says when there is no Beis HaMikdash, and we don't live under religious persecution, we'll assume that at the moment, and hopefully it will continue, at least the second part. Maybe hopefully the first part will happen, but we will keep the second part of it, no religious persecution. So the Gemara says, Ratzu Mis'anin, Ratzu Eina Mis'anim. So while there's the Churban and religious persecution, you have an obligation to fast. When the Beis HaMikdash is up, you have a Chi of Simcha. And now we're in no man's land. It's Ratzu, that it's your choice. If you want to fast, you can fast. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to. Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we don't have religious persecution either. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Tisha B'Av. What about Tisha B'Av then? Why did Tisha B'Av, you mean, is Tisha B'Av also optional? So the Gemara says, no. Shani Tisha B'Av, Shehuk B'Lo Saras. Tisha B'Av is different because both temples were destroyed on that day. So therefore, Tisha B'Av is separate than the other three fast days. So that's a debate among the commentators what exactly it means. Because the Ramban writes in Torah Sa'adam, originally, when the Jews took on the fast days originally, they're all like Tisha B'Av. They started the night before, and they had all the different Inuyim that they couldn't do. Whatever you couldn't do on Tisha B'Av, you couldn't do on Yud Zayin Tammuz, on Asara B'Teves, as well as Som Gedalia. That was the original institution. However, once it became Ratzu Mis'anin Ratzu, therefore it was up to us to choose, so it was too much. Klal Yisrael decided we're only going to leave Tisha B'Av the way it is. It's too much to ask us to fast from 25 hours and another three times a year. We'll just start the morning, we'll start fasting in the morning for the other fast days. So therefore, so the Gemara clearly states Tisha B'Av is different. What exactly is Pshat Tisha B'Av is this? In other words, In other words, originally, all these fast days were Divrei Kabbalah. It's from the prophets, not Kabbalah like Madonna, but Divrei Kabbalah from the prophets. So it's clearly the different levels. There's something which is Midivrei Torah, the words of the Torah. There's something Midrabanan, and then there's a middle ground from the Nevi'im. So, and then again, that's another Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, whether Divrei Kabbalah ke Divrei Torah dami or not. How do we view Divrei Kabbalah? You know, do we view it like Divrei Torah, or do we view it like Derabanan? So either way, so the Gemara says that originally, the Ramban writes, originally all the fast days will be Divrei Kabbalah, but now, post Churban Bayis Sheni, that it's Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Einu Misanim. So Tisha B'Av retained its original status, and the other ones were different. In other words, what does that mean? What do you mean? That, well, we all agree Tisha B'Av is stricter than the other three fasts. What's Pshat? Is the Pshat is that Tisha B'Av retains its original Divrei Kabbalah status, and all the other fast days are only Midrabanan today? Well, no. They're all Midrabanan today. It's only Midrabanan because of Huchbalot Tzaris, because double trouble, both temples were destroyed on Tisha B'Av, so therefore Midrabanan, we took on stricter rules, the five Inuyim and starting at night. Ma'inaf Kamina, what's the difference? Everyone agrees Tisha B'Av is stricter. What do I care if it's stricter Midivrei Kabbalah or stricter? Either way, I can't eat 25 hours on Tisha B'Av. That's all I know. I can't have my Timmies in the morning. I have to have it before. That's what I know. So what's my nafkamina? Tremendous nafkamina lahalacha. What's the tremendous nafkamina? Because we have a general halacha, let's say a chola on Yom Kippur. So a chola on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a biblical fast. So we're very strict. So therefore, if you're a chola sheyesh bo sakana, then you're allowed to eat. We could discuss how you could eat, but then it's mutter to eat. But if you're a chola she'ein bo sakana, you know, you have to try to fast. You know, and then we could discuss what can be done on a practical level. But fundamentally, I'm not talking about in practice what you do, but just in based on the principle, a cholesh, the only person who can eat on Yom Kippur, at least kedarko, is a cholesh yesh bo sakana. On paper, a cholesh ein bo sakana can't eat. Then, of course, we have to know the specifics, whether it could lead to then will work, but that's fundamentally. In contrast to, let's say, Yud Zayin Tammuz, let's say, that's clearly only Durabanan today. At best, it's Durabanan. Maybe it's only a minug. And therefore, if you're a cholesh ein bo sakana, you're exempt from the fast. In fact, the Briska Rav, that's a shaila. You're exempt, meaning you're not allowed to, or you can, but you don't have to, because the Briskers were very strict on, you know, the famous story with Rav Chaim. Well, first I'll give you the famous story what happened to Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav Soloveitchik, I guess he was in Europe at the time. He was a baby, he was a kid. And he was gravely ill. He was very sick one time. I guess it wasn't like me, I have to wait 2 weeks to see my doctor. The doctor used to make house calls. So he came right over. So it was Shabbos. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was his father, was there. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was his grandfather, was there. So the doctor walks in. And Rav Chaim, the grandfather, says to the doctor, do you need any light in the room? So he said something along the lines that it can't hurt. So, of course, he didn't do it. He told Rav Moshe, his son, turn on the light. You heard the doctor. So Rav Moshe is hesitating, like he didn't actually say he needed it. It can't hurt. Like he's draining back. So Rav Chaim started screaming at his son, you apikoris, you heretic. Because based on the Rambam says someone who's not willing to machal Shabbos to save a life, it's not just mere like you're violating, you're a heretic, because it shows, you mean the Torah doesn't care about human life? It's awful. he trashed them big time, and there was someone else in the room, Rav Simcha Zeleg, who is the posek in Brisk. I think they learned together in Volozhin, Rav Chaim and Rav Simcha Zeleg. So Rav Simcha Zeleg, number one, in general, he was known to be, I wouldn't say he was known to be a mako. He had different kuas. In fact, the joke in Europe was, you could take a positive or negative. I take a positive, but some might be saying it negative. The joke in Europe was that any time when you had a shaila and you had a suffix on something, you used to say it's a svek sveka. One suffix is maybe it's mutter, maybe it's not. And even if it's usser, maybe if Simcha Zelig has a heter for us. So that was the famous svek sveka they used to say in Europe. So they pointed, so he was there. He lived by, he turned on, when Rav Moshe told him to, when Rav Chaim said to turn on the light, he turned on the light. So that's the story with the Rav, that, you know, so they say to Rav Chaim, why are you so mako on Shabbos? He says, no, I'm machmer on pikuach nefesh. We're very strict on saving lives, and therefore that's why I said it. So they say over the Briska Rav, who was another son, Rav Chaim had at least two sons. One was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the other was the Briska Rav. He also took this very seriously. He said that someone who's a cholet she'ein bo sakana can't fast. What do you mean? I think the Shiloh, I forget the exact Shiloh, came up that someone asked him. Someone asked the Briska Rav if he's allowed to. I guess he was a cholet she'ein bo sakana. Again, I'm not 100% on the story along those lines, and he asked them if he could fast on whatever the fast day was. I don't remember. And he said, no, you can't. But the guy didn't listen anyway. He fasted. And what is the Briska Rav know? I just wanted to know what his shita was. I'm going to eat. I'm going to fast. And I guess apparently the Briska Rav was in the same shul as that guy that day. And the Gabbai called up this person. He went to the person, are you fasting? He said, yeah. He called them up for an aliyah, and the Briska Rav said, you can't give him let's assume he did it privately. I'm not talking about embarrassing him, but Rabbi, I'm going to tell you, he said, you can't give this guy an aliyah. But he told me he's fasting. He might be fasting, but halachically, there's no kiyum atinus. He felt it was usher for him to fast. So the fact, in other words, the difference between not eating, let's put it this way, he was a person not eating. Halachically, we don't recognize him as fasting. That was the Briska Rav's mahalach. So he was also very... the Briskers felt that today everyone was much... A lot of people are cholishim, but Rav Soloveitchik felt in America people are stronger, so maybe we shouldn't have the status of a cholishim bo sakana. Nevertheless, that was the Briska Rav. So therefore, when it comes to Yom Kippur, the halacha is... Only a cholei sheyesh bo sakana is allowed to eat. But on, let's say, Yud Zayin Tammuz, a cholei she'ein bo sakana is definitely allowed to eat. Maybe he has to eat. Right? So that's a big difference. So the question is, where does Tisha B'Av fit in? Is Tisha B'Av like Yud Zayin Tammuz? Or is Tisha B'Av like Yom Kippur? Well, because the question is, do we say Divrei Kabbalah, in other words, even if you assume Divrei Kabbalah and Divrei Torah, let's assume we accept that principle. The question is, what is Tisha B'Av? So it depends how you learn the Gemara. If you learn the Gemara that Shani Tisha B'Av retained its Divrei Kabbalah status and we treat it like Divrei Torah, then it has the same halacha like Yom Kippur. But if you say, no, it's only Midrabanan, so then we treat it like the other fast days in certain halacha. It's only Midrabanan with Machmir, but if you're a Cholei she'ein bo sakana, then you'd be exempt from the fast. So that'd be a major nafkamina. So let's say the question is, could you, assuming someone's going to, is there a concept of shiurim on Tisha? Like, we know the halacha is, if someone's a Cholei she'eish bo sakana, he's allowed to eat with shiurim. Like, if he has to eat, so he eats less than he makes sure he spreads it out over the appropriate time. The Briskers were more mako, but I'll stay away from the Brisker shita now, even though it's Lishi Tasson about the health, that they hold that a Cholei she'eish bo sakana can eat normally. It's only a Cholei she'ein bo sakana who will become a chole, then we start eating shurim. That's briskers rishitasan, pikuach nefesh, even suffix sakana. So either way, so the question is, if someone's eating on Tisha B'Av, is there a concept of eating pachas mishir or not? So if you hold it's midivrei Kabbalah, then yeah. If you hold it's midrabanan, then no. So, you know, it's a little debate among the, I think most poskim assume that Tisha B'Av is a din d'rabanan. So therefore, we don't have the chumras of Tisha B'Av. You know, I'm not saying there aren't any opinions who disagree, but the opinions I follow is that Tisha B'Av is not like Yom Kippur. We assume it's a din d'rabanan, and therefore not all the kuas, Tisha B'Av was stricter than the other fast days, but we don't, you know, Tisha B'Av we don't treat like Yom Kippur. There's no doubt. If someone has to eat, I don't tell them to eat pachas mikashir. And also, I'm much more lenient if someone who's sick on Tisha B'Av versus he's sick on Yom Kippur. So, you know, according to many, we view Tisha B'Av as a chumrah d'rabbanan, not that it retains its divrei Kabbalah status. Yeah, Jeff.
No, please. I don't want to get away from what you want to talk about that, but I'm so puzzled about this whole concept of Divrei Kabbalah. Where does it come from? Is it what the Nevi'i told us to do, or what? You see, I understand. Moshe is, for halacha of Moshe Sinai. I know what that is. I mean, you know, from Sinai, what do you call it? Doraisa and Durabanan. The Rabbanim.
We have, but the
Divrei Kabbalah, it seems to be some vague in between status.
Yeah, what do you mean? So, there's a biblical status when the Torah tells you something. That's not vague. The rabbis tell you to do something, and the prophets tell. Why is that vague? The prophets tell you got to do something. I'm just saying it's a machlokes, whether we say divrei Kabbalah, everyone agrees you got to listen to them. The question is, if I assume today that the stuff they, if today it's a technical issue, whether I assume today it's a din d'rabbanan or it's a din midivrei Kabbalah. There's nothing vague about listening to. There's nothing vague about fasting on. There's nothing vague about what Zechariah told us to do. He told us about the four. You know, exactly. There's nothing vague what he said. The question is, when he said it, what's binding on me? So that's like Sfirah to Omer. It might have been once d'oraisa, it's d'rabbanan. There's nothing vague about Sfirah to Omer. Whether it's derais or drabbanan, it's a machokes. I'm not sure what you mean. The divrei Kabbalah is not vague. It's
vague.
A what?
That's kind of vague. Let me put it differently. Where does it come? Is it something? Just let me put it. The origin of divrei Kabbalah is what the Nevi'im told us to do. Is that it?
That's it.
But what power do the Nevi'im have to give us? Like, I mean, I'd say the Rabbanim, they ran the Sanhedrin. They could make rules.
Exactly.
But the Nevi'im, they just to warn us to do tshuva.
Exactly. That's a good kash. That's a separate issue because a navi rosh elchadish dava meyata. A navi can't make up halacha. So either number one, a navi could have been talking as a talmud chacham also. It all depends if
he was. Also a rabbi.
Yeah, I'm just saying is, but in general, the only Moshe Rabbeinu we follow, a navi can make a horasha for a certain period of time, and a navi can right. So either. It came from the Kabbalah, and then the rabbis codified it, or the Navi could have been a Talmud Chacham. Depends what he's giving the rule from, based on the Yud Gimel Midos. If God came down to him and said this, you know, then that a Navi can't make up a halacha. But I'm just saying is, yeah, that's a general kasha, but nothing, you know, doesn't affect what we're saying today. I'm just saying is getting into, you know, how. It's what's clear is it's accepted in halacha, so you know whether they codified it later, whether you know it wasn't like Eliyahu by Harar Carmel, that was a horasha, so therefore it doesn't apply now. The Zechariah was telling us to do for future generations.
Okay, let me rephrase my question. Look. You don't like the word vague, we'll skip that. But it's, I understand, sorry, I'm speaking to myself, understand the Rasa and Santa Rabbanan, and then there's this, say, mysterious, halfway status in between. And
yeah, that's
it's strict to the one thing, but more lenient than the other.
There's a question about Divrei Kabbalah, whether is it a more lenient Divrei Torah, or is it stricter Drabbanan?
Okay, that's another way of rephrasing what I'm trying to.
Yeah, so I'm just saying is, so it's that's the debate which one it is. So either way, it falls under either Darais or it falls under Darais or Drabbanan. Let's assume it's not a new category. So I'm saying it's either, okay. To put it in your terms, so it's either if it's a more lenient Divrei Torah or it's a more stricter Drabbanan, if you don't want to call it Divrei Kabbalah. I'm saying in terms of, right, so in general, that's a whole separate shir. What rites in the Nevi'im have to tell us to give us any mitzvahs? And in terms of it, in other words, that gets into like, that gets into the halakha of Ein Navi Rasha L'chadesh Java Me'ata, and in terms of Horashas and that.
I'd like to hear a cheer like that at some time, you know.
Okay. We're happy to give it over again. I'm sure we've discussed it at different times.
Oh.
But like all shiurim, we can't hurt to review and go over it. We could go into the history of the different halachas, the different kabbalah, what it means. Right, so getting back here, so that's the question. So therefore, if you assume Tisha B'Av is me Divrei Kabbalah, so then it's stricter. Then if you assume Divrei Kabbalah could Divrei Torah dummy, so then you have to eat Shiura, maybe a Cholesh Ein Bo Sakana can't eat. Or if you assume that it's Midrabbanan, so there's much more leniency. So I'm saying so many poskim Ameko much by Tisha B'Av that they say there are no shiurim because they hold it's only drabbanan, and therefore, either you could fast, and according to the Briska Rav, you might not be eating, but you ain't fasting. In other words, you're not allowed to call up anyone who's exempt from the fast. You can't call them up for an aliyah. Again, the assumption is that in order to be called up for the aliyah, you have to be a bar chiyuva in the day, and since you're a cholish ein bo sakana, according to the Briskers, you're not mechuyev to the effort, you can't get aliyah. You can't be motzi someone else because you're exempt, in terms of that. But that would be, either way, that would be one of the differences. So therefore, we have the four fast days. We have the Som HaRevi, which is Yud Zayin Tammuz. The Som HaChamishi is Tisha B'Av. The Som HaShvi, Som Gedalia. And the Soma Asiya Asara B'Teva. So actually, when they set it up, it was actually talking about Churban Bayis Rishon, because obviously, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so therefore, they picked Asara B'Teva, that was the beginning of the siege. They picked a day in Tammuz, that's when they breached Jerusalem. Tisha B'Av was the day the temple was destroyed, and Som Gedalia, why did Gedalia get a fast day? Because Som Gedalia, even after the Churban Bayis Rishon, he stuck around in Judea, and when he was killed, that was the end of the last ember of Jewish sovereignty during that time. So that's why it remembers. That's why he made it. So therefore, that's why we keep Asara B'Teves now. It basically goes back to Churban Bayis Rishon. And we keep Som Gedalia. That has to do with Churban Bayis Rishon. Nothing to do with Churban Bayis Sheni. Tisha B'Av was the same date, so that didn't change. The only point of contention is, what do you mean by Som HaRevi? What day of the month are we talking about? So we all agree today, Yud Zayin Tammuz is the day. So all agree, Churban Bayis Sheni, Yud Zayin Tammuz was the beginning of this. They breached the walls of Jerusalem. We're pretty much in agreement in that. However, Churban Bayis Rishon, we're not in agreement about that. According to the Bavli, it was the ninth of Tammuz, I believe, that they breached the walls for Chorban Bayis Rishon, it was the ninth of Tammuz. It was still Tisha B'Av that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but they breached the walls on the ninth of Tammuz. So therefore, if all our days are patterned after Chorban Bayis Rishon, why don't we fast on the ninth of Tammuz? Why do we go with Chorban Bayis Sheni? How do I know we go by Chorban Bayis Rishon? Because Som Gedalia and Asar B'Tavis have to do with Chorban Bayis Rishon. And Tisha B'Av we can't bring any proofs for because it's the same day. So how come? Why did we change the ninth of Tammuz to the seventh? Why didn't we keep the ninth of Tammuz? So,
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Could the kasha also be, why don't we have both days? I mean, it's not a possibility one could ask.
Yeah, you could have, but why would you have both days? You could have 2 days, but why?
It's difficult for people.
Yeah, but he says, because he says the Som HaRavi, implying it's 1 day. He doesn't say Somos in Tammuz, it's Mashma one fast day. So, and in fact, you know, we'll see. Let's say, could you pick another day? That's a separate Minchas Chinuch. But so the question is, why did we pick, if everything else goes by Chorban Bayis Rishon, why did we change to Yud Zayin Tammuz? So the Mefarshim tell us because it Chorban Bayis Sheni is more acute to us. It's more we feel the pain more. What happened? I guess it was more recent. It's actually, to be honest, it's a Machlokas Yerushalmi Bavli, I believe. According to the Yerushalmi, it was always the 17th of Tammuz. It was a mistake. They thought it was the 9th of Tammuz, but they didn't know how to count. Kind of like Tu B'Av. They thought it was the 9th of Av, but really it was two. They realized the mistake, you know, on Tu B'Av. They realized the mistake on Tu B'Av, but really it was about the 9th of Av. So I'm just equating the two. I'm just saying, according to Yerushalmi, it was always the 17th of Tammuz, and the 9th was only a mistake. That's why we moved to the 17th of Tammuz. Going to the Bavli, no. Even if it was the 9th of Tammuz, we go by Chorban Bayis Sheni, we change it because now we feel the pain more of. So that's just the historical development of the day. And in fact, that's the famous proof of the Minchas Chinuch. In other words, the Shaila is, we know when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, do we fast on Shabbos or not?
No.
You don't? Well, I do. So,
yes,
Zachariah does also. So, so we fast on Shabbos. See, that's why you have to come to Ohev Tzedek. We fast there. Maybe where you go, they eat. They have a Kiddush where you go. So, I guess if during the time of Shlomo HaMelech they did, but that's a separate discussion. But so the point being is we don't eat. Well, it wasn't really a personal question what you do. I meant, what's the halacha? So I wasn't prying into, you know, so you might have to eat for like personal reasons. That's okay. I meant to say, in principle, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, is it a fast day? The answer is yes. What about when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos? Do we fast or not?
Perhaps the calendar's made so it can't happen, I'm guessing.
Yes, it does happen. The 9th of Av can fall on Shabbos, if that's what you're asking.
I thought you postponed the fasting till the 10th, the next day.
Yeah, you do. But
well, in any case, the 10th was, the end of the destruction was on the 10th.
I know, that wasn't my question. My question was, do you fast on the 9th of when it's Shabbos? I asked, that was my question. Yes or no?
I'm guessing no.
Correct. No, we push it off to Sunday. That is correct. So how come the Minchas Chinuch is, why don't we fast on, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, why don't we fast on Shabbos? Why? Because we have a, why can't we fast on Shabbos? Because we have a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, v'karasig l'Shabbos Oneg. And midivrei Kabbalah, we have to fast. So why should that win over the other one? Shevi al tasa adav, when we have a conflict, so Shevi al tasa. So why shouldn't, Minchas Chinuch is bother, how come we don't fast on Shabbos? Yeah, the kasha?
Yes.
So the Minchas Chinuch has a famous answer. as follows, because Ein Achinami, you're right. We really would have to, if we had a fast on the 9th of Av, and the 9th of Av fell on Shabbos, we must fast. However, we find nowhere in Navi that it gives us the date. All the Navi tells us is Som Haravi. It tells us which month we have to fast in. Only the rabbis gave us a date. So Midivrei Kabbalah, you could pick any day in the month to fast. The 9th of Tammuz, you could pick the 17th, maybe beforehand, before the rabbis picked the date, maybe you could have picked any other date of the month. But so it's only Midrabanan, it's the 9th day. So therefore, Midivrei Kabbalah, you have a mitzvah to eat. And it's only Midrabanan, that's specific. So then Midivrei Kabbalah of Oneg Shabbos wins out, and therefore we don't fast on Shabbos. But in theory, you would have fasted on Shabbos. So therefore, but what's the point? The point is, what's one of its proofs? The Gemara says on Zayin Tammuz we fasted Churban Bayis Rishon, and so obviously it wasn't a set date. If the Navi told us the date, how could we switch from 7 to 19? So he claims, you know, according to the Yerushalmi, it's not a question, because they said it was just a mistake. They never switched. But according to the Bavli, what do we see? Like the Minchas Chinuch, that there was never a specific date. Midivrei Kabbalah, there was only a month. And then the rabbis picked, you know, then you, whoever got to pick the month, whether every person could pick their own day, whether they all decided on one day, that's a separate debate. But the point being is, what do we see? We see from here that even if you assume Tisha B'Av is Midivrei Kabbalah today, but clearly the date, the 9th of Av, is only Midrabanan. Everyone would agree to that. And therefore, that's why we don't fast on Shabbos. And that's why it's not a big deal to change the date. Again, the Minchas Chinuch raises the question, what about today that the rabbis picked the date? Can I just pick any day of the month anymore? That's a separate discussion. Maybe once the rabbis made the takana, we can't change it anymore. But that's on a rabbinic level. Midivrei Kabbalah, there never was a date. The only discussion there is on Asara B'Teves, is on the 10th of Teves, because that's the famous Avidraham. It says, Be'etzem Hayom Azeh, just like by Yom Kippur. By Yom Kippur it says, Be'etzem Hayom Azeh, and on Tisha B'Av it says, Be'etzem Hayom Azeh. So the Avidraham says, it can't happen on our calendar, but if it could, if Asara B'Teves would fall out on Shabbos, we'd have to fast on Shabbos. That's what the Avidraham points out. That if Asara B'Teves fell out on Shabbos, which it can't, though it's easy to say it, because it says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, we're not allowed to push off the fast day. So he says it's, you know, so the Minchas Chinuch argues. He says there is no day of the month. According to the Avidraham, there is a day of the month. And therefore, you'd have to fast on that day. And in fact, I'll tell you where it come up. Halacha l'maisa. Let's say a person is flying from, I don't know, Bangkok somewhere on Yud Zayin Tammuz. He's flying back to America, Canada, and let's say he's going to cross over the international dateline. So let's say he fasted on Yud Zayin. He left on Yud Zayin Tammuz. He fasted, and now he crosses over, and he already let's say he's already fasted. Let's say he went to the 8th. He was, you know. Let's say, I don't know whether it's in the middle. Let's say the fast was. Then he went in. He already fasted. He did his fast day, and then let's assume he even ate already. I don't know. And then he crossed over, and it's Yud Zayin Tammuz now. Does he have to fast again?
Question to make sense must assume that the festival dates in the Golus follow the international date line.
Well, that is the assumption. I'm talking about the halachic international daylight. That's a further debate on do we accept an international dateline at all? Clearly, in my question, I'm assuming Halacha accepts an international dateline. And whatever the one that is, that's the question. Obviously, if we don't accept the international dateline, it's a non-sequitur. So I agree. But clearly in the question, they're assuming there is an international dateline. I'm not saying which one it is. That's a major debate. The Chazon Ish and many other great scholars who debated the issue, it's still debated Bizman Hazeh. But whatever the question is, we're assuming in the Shaila, for those who hold there is no international dateline, or you just follow, I'm not saying it's not the same one either. Maybe they agree with the international dateline. Some might not, but that's getting caught up in the technicals. You could give me your own case where we cross an international dateline. I don't care where the international dateline is. I'm interested in the question. If I cross over to the international, do I have to fast again on Yud Zayin Tammuz? That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in where it is and if we have one or not.
Good question.
So that's a shiloh we have to get into. I'll give you another shiloh while we're at it. I'll throw you out a couple of questions for an upcoming shiur. This question we could discuss. I'll give you another question, which I won't. I'll give you three questions I won't answer. Now I plan to answer in the future. That's one question. Do I have to fast again? And perhaps are these three independent questions, or they're all connected? Second question is: let's say you're in America, Shabbos is over, right? And California is 3 hours ahead of us. In other words, it's 3 hours earlier. So let's say Elon Musk came up with a spaceship that I could travel to California in an hour. So let's say I kept Shabbos in New York or wherever you are. I flew to L.A. and it's still Shabbos there. Do I have to keep Shabbos? I already kept Shabbos. Do I have to keep another one? You hear the kasha? Am I looking for an answer? I want to know if you hear the kasha.
That's a yes.
Okay, and the third question. Third question is, let's say you follow the opinion of the Chacham Svi, Rav Svi Ashkenazi. So for someone who is an Israeli, they live in Israel, they keep Yom Tov Rishon. So for him to get on a plane after Yom Tov Rishon and to fly into Chutz Laaretz isn't a shaila. It's mutter, then there is a shaila. If you fly into a Jewish area, what you have to do? But there's no question it's mutter for him to get on a plane. There's no, even though he's going to cross over to Chutz Laaretz during Yom Tov, okay, because I'm a Ben Eretz Israel. Then you have a separate halacha about if I go into a Jewish, I might have to wait in the airport until that's a separate technical issue. I'm asking someone who lives in America or Canada, but they ask the Rav, let's say they didn't ask the Rav, and they follow the Chacham Tzvi Shita. They know better. They know who to follow. And they said, I'm following the Chacham Tzvi Shita. I'm only keeping one day. So they want to fly home because they can't work. Because if they wait to after, number one is, apparently I hear you can get a much better flight on El Al. Because there are very few people, because all the next day it will be impossible, double the price, let's say. It's a Hefsid Meruba. And even that, I'm going to miss a day of work. So I want to know, could I fly back on Yom Tov, after I kept Yom Tov Rishon, I'm a Chacham Sviyid. And then I'll fly back, I'll wait in the airport until Yom Tov Sheni's over, because then I certainly can't go back to where I live in a Jewish area until Yom Tov Sheni is over. That's a separate halacha. I should say there should be universal agreement on it, as far as I know. But I'm saying it's universal agreement you can't do it. I'm not saying universal agreement that people don't do it. I'm just saying from among the halachas, I think all agree you can't do it. Whether what people do, that's their own choice. But so the question is, can a Chacham Sviyid fly back Yom Tov Rishon and then he's going to be in the air on Yom Tov Sheni? Is that permitted? Do I have to keep when I started Yom Tov Sheni, I was in Israel. I was exempt, I'm assuming, according to the Chacham Svi, I didn't have to keep it. So now I moved into chutzra. Do I become chayev now? Or do I say that I was exempt? You know, how does that work? So three shailas. Could I fly? Could I leave Eretz Yisrael on Yantav Sheni? I'm a chacham Svi Yid, and do I become chayev in Yantav Sheni in mid-flight? Once I leave Eretz, it wouldn't be mid-flight. It wouldn't take long to leave Israel, but once I leave Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, if Elon maybe already came up with it, if I could fly to California or Vancouver for that matter, I'll go from Toronto to Vancouver and I'll get to Vancouver before Shabbos is over. Do I say I already kept Shabbos? Shabbos is only once a week, isn't it? Do I have to keep Shabbos again? And then Ala Shaila on Yud Zayin Tammuz. Would I have to fast? If I fasted Yud Zayin Tammuz, and then I cross over the international dateline, and it becomes Yud Zayin, do I have to fast again? Those and many other shailas will have to be discussed. Just a little food for thought. Now, any other questions or comments you have?